1 John 5, because I've been talking about this a lot, and I think we just need to go there. That last thought really got me. Satan knows that God created man in his image, and he knows that man's God-given tendency is to see God through one another and to weigh and judge God actually through one another. If God made me in his image to reveal him and gave me all that he is, then it would be right to say that you should be able to look at my life and see who God is. True? But because man fell and has done a lot of hurt and damage and harm and lived selfish instead of selfless, you get it? We've been twisted. Hi, Jim. We've been perverted, twisted. We were created for love. We were created to be selfless, and we've lived selfish. Okay? And the tendency is that when man lives a certain way, people judge God for that. Does that make sense? But it just shows our God-given grace and right. There's something powerful here that we have this on the flip side. We have this privilege of revealing him and expressing him and yielding and surrendering yourself for him and his kingdom and his glory, so that when men see your life, they see who? Him. But isn't it amazing how many people you've heard say, well, if that's what Christianity's all about, I don't want him. Well, if that's what God's like, I don't want him. Well, if that's what church is, I ain't going. And they weigh almighty, infallible, unchangeable, awesome God through the fallen nature of man. And the only way to weigh God is through Jesus. Jesus is. Good song. Jesus is. Amen? So look at this. So let's get intimate for a minute. That'll be good. If Jesus came and really did what this gospel says he did, what's that say about how the Father sees us? What's that say about the value that God has for you? If his son really came innocent to die for you, and your life has been guilty, if you've lived in the fallen nature, if you've coveted, if you've lived selfish, if you've lived void of love, and yet Jesus is on the earth to get you back to the Father, what's that say about the Father towards you? Come on, you got to get personal. Got to go, whoa. The fact that Jesus even came through the womb of a woman and said, yes, I'll go. What's that say about your value to God? Come on, that's huge. And then we weigh our identity through life and how people are and how people aren't. And usually by the certain age of whatever, we're nothing but a product of what we've been through. Well, I want to be through him. You get it? Come on. How personal must we take this gospel? It's an intimate, this is love, this is relationship. It's not a book to memorize and quote. It's not something that we preach on Sunday, amen, brother. It's what we are, it's who we are, it's what we become. This is God, and I'm in him, and he's in me. This is where I find why I'm even on the planet. And I find that God is love, and God created me in his image, and when man fell, God didn't fall. When man changed, God didn't change. And he sent his son to show us the truth. He's the truth. And get us back to the truth. So is the door open wide for every one of us to go back to God through Jesus? What's that say about your value to God? What's that say about your purpose? And we're going to let somebody's nasty words, nasty action, and sin-filled action change who we are, when Almighty God says that has nothing to do with who you are. That has to do with what man became through sin. Don't take it personal. Take me personal. You get it? Can you tell I believe what I'm telling you? Yeah. You know why? Because of the scripture I'm about ready to read to you. 1 John 5. I've been preaching it a lot. but I haven't expounded on it a whole lot, and I feel like I'm supposed to right now. So let's just go there. This is the confidence. Now, this is the confidence, verse 14, 1 John 5, verse 14. Who likes when you're really confident in life? Come on, it's a bummer being insecure, isn't it? Come on, it's a bummer. Don't know whether you're coming or going, and sometimes you act like you know you're coming, and yet you know you're going, and all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? Smiling on the outside, dying on the inside stuff. Some of us, God, I hear this in my heart. Some of us don't even really know what it means to just be confident. Because we get blown around by life, kind of like a leaf in the wind. Whatever will be, and we hold on tight, and we say, oh, God. And we hope today's a better day than yesterday, and a better hand's dealt, and sometimes we get this almost feeling like God's behind it all. Wonder if we just have identity crisis. Wonder if we're being deceived and don't really see who we really are. And wonder if we see who we really are changes everything. Come on. Because watch. This is the confidence. Some people think confidence is pride or arrogance. That's not true. No, when you presume something apart from God's word or without understanding, or you're just popping off because of whatever and you can't find it in truth. When he's my motivation, when I find truth in him, when I see who I am in him and I begin to declare that and live that, who knows that's right? Who knows that's not pride? When I stand here bold and smile and say, God loves me like loves me. Who knows I'm not presumptuous? I can't possibly be presumptuous because I found God so loved the world, he sent his son. So what do you say? You get in agreement with God and just say, yay. So I can't be presumptuous when I proclaim what God has already proclaimed. When I come into agreement with what Jesus revealed, I can never be presumptuous. I can only be confident. If I see Jesus is in the throne room of grace at the right hand, I can come boldly in, that's like confidently, come into his presence and receive in a time of need. Why? Because I understand my entranceway. I understand the heart and will of the Father to have me in there because of Jesus being there representing me to God and God to me. So when I understand these things, it gives me great confidence. Come on, I can feel this in my spirit that many of us, it's time to start living confident and stop even doing this in our Christianity, just walking through, holding on to some kind of, in a method, just trying to quote something. It's about just saying thank you. When nobody's looking in the whole world, when these precious girls aren't even playing, when you're just alone, it's just you and Jesus. And usually the stranger's voice, and you just get consumed in what he has revealed through his son, and the stranger's voice gets swallowed up in that place, and your identity gets healed, and it gets right. And you just start saying, thank you for loving me. Thank you that I am not what life has tried to proclaim. I'm not how I feel. I am who you revealed me to be through Jesus. I am valuable and precious in your sight. You have a will for me, a good intention for me, a kind intention. I have destiny with you. You're the reason I exist, and my life is in you. Thank you for loving me, Father. That would really change your life if you just camp there. Most people don't pray that way. Most people I talk to, they just pray about what they need. They don't pray about who they are through who he is. Most people just pray the problem. Do you know that our focus should always be him? When there's a battle, your focus is victory. When there's sin, your focus is grace that's greater. Mercy triumphs over judgment. You get it? God is always the focus. It's always about him. Even when we don't see all things under our feet, we see Jesus. Yes. So what he's saying is, don't focus on what's wrong. Focus on what's right. And I'm learning more about this because the more I preach it, the more I see it. It's really good. It's one of those backwards things for me. Usually I'm preaching out of stuff I see, but I'm just really starting to see this like never before. Here's why. If I see Jesus, even though this thing isn't bowing under, I see Jesus, I'll continue to do what I'm doing from a position of victory instead of the problem. You get it? If the thing that's not submitting is my motivation, I'm always praying from the position of loss. Does this make sense? I know I'm starting to see this more, and I'm trying to explain it what I'm seeing. And I think, honestly, I think I live this way personally. So that's why I have the grace to share it, but I'm trying to explain it. It's not something I necessarily understood. It's just something I live because it's the way I see it, but it's nothing I had really understanding on to teach. But you know what I mean by praying fear-based, motivated by the problem prayers? And it turns the scriptures then into mechanics. You get it? The scriptures become mechanical. We were just talking, Peg and Dale and I, because this stuff is easy to, this is a thin line a lot of times with this stuff. Look, I'm coming from a position of victory in my life, even if all hell's breaking loose. Because I'm sealed. Holy Ghost is in me. Father loves me. Jesus is Lord. He's raised from the dead. Everybody on the earth could say they don't like me, and He loves me. And that's serious. You say, oh, you're just popping off. You need people to accept you and da-da-da. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm very accepted. Yay! I want you to like me, okay? But it's not what makes me tick. What makes me tick is I'm accepted in the Beloved. Yay. Okay? Come on. Wonder if I really do believe that. Wonder if you do too with me. We don't realize how moved we are by natural things that are subject to change. We don't realize how we're trying to express all our Christianity to affect a natural life instead of reveal a supernatural God in the midst of natural life. My whole energy of expression should be to reveal Him, not just have Him come and fix and do and move and shake. You get it? Through the pressure and through the trial, you get squeezed and find out what's really on the inside of who you are. So bring it on. What do you say? Squeeze a little bit and let some pressure come. See, because most of us say, no, don't talk like that. I've had enough pressure. And we reveal we haven't held up well in the pressure. And this is the real thing. Come on. Jesus said, clean the inside of the cup and the outside will be clean. If this was an outward method that we're trying to lay a hold of outwardly, He wouldn't say that. This is an inward revelation through relationship. It's established. And I become in the Christ who I'm really created to be. And it's through a personal time with Him. It's through talking to Him. It's through reading and taking the word personal and expressing to God who I am because of Him and thanking Him for that. And these songs we're singing just over and over living from that realm. Does this make sense? Or outwardly, I'm trying to be a Christian and handle things right. And say the right things. And yet on the inside I'm suffering and I'm fearful and I'm worried and I'm... I don't believe that's what Jesus died and rose again for. I believe He died and rose again to get me back to original value, to get me back to where Adam was before he ate the tree, to know what he knew before he ate that tree. Think with me. To experience what He did before He ate the tree. Because if God doesn't judge me for eating the tree, then mercy is triumphed over judgment. And I'm back to original value and I can have with God the Father what Adam did before sin. So where's my identity rest? Where's my existence found? In an unfailing, unchangeable God that can only do anything but love me. Watch this. There's nothing I can do to make God love me more. That is so freeing. Yes. Come on. Yay. There's nothing I can do to make Him love me more. So why don't you lighten up, get the sweat off your brow, and stop trying so hard to get God to love you. He does. He's love. And watch this. There's nothing you could do to make him love you less. See, some of us need to hear that because we carry things and we don't forgive ourselves, even though God does. But some of us need to hear there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. To get you to stop trying so hard and just be loved. When do you just say thank you for loving me through your son? Come on. It's through Jesus. It's through Jesus. That's where the love is found. You get it? So this confidence thing, we didn't get there yet, did we? But we're trying. There's so much here. This is the confidence we have in who? Do you notice it says that? Your confidence is where? It's never in yourself, and it's never in others. It's in him. That's why it's important to see him in one another. The confidence is in him. So I know you trust in no flesh, but wonder if you're being led by the Spirit. Wonder if you live by the Spirit. Wonder if we live in such a committed way, a selfless way, a way before God where our hearts are pure, and to the pure all things are pure. I bet you could actually begin to have confidence in the Christ in us. I bet that's what makes us a body and how we can be one and all that good stuff. Sometimes we're so afraid of flesh and man because we saw the pain of it that we fail to recognize that God can transform us and make us strong. And all of a sudden I feel like I can't be in... Who knows that the Christ in him can encourage my life like Christ can encourage my life when it's the Christ in him. But we're so afraid. We've seen the failure of man so much that we're afraid to ever put our confidence in him, in one another. But there's a confidence in him. Wonder if we do get to this place of surrender. Wonder if we find ourselves yielded. Wonder if in the secret place, every one of us leave here and start seeking him like never before and yielding like never before. I bet we'd bear different fruit. I bet we wouldn't feel so vulnerable. You know what? Watch this. God, I don't know how I get on this stuff. Help me, Jesus. If I take a survey, there's so many people here, you feel vulnerable. That means your identity is in you. You're self-preserving. You're in survival mode and you don't realize it. I'm here to tell you, it's not an evil thing. You don't realize it. It's just the way you think it is. You feel vulnerable. We're not vulnerable. I'm not vulnerable. I'm not subject to you and your actions, your failures or successes. I'm subject to him. I've submitted to him and he's totally always trustable. I'm not vulnerable except to him that he might come and love me. Do you get it? I'm not at your mercy. I'm at his. Do you see how serious it is to get your identity in him? He gets singing this song sometimes, I'm in you and you're in me. And it goes on and on. It's because God's crying it out. Come on, hello, I'm in you. You're in me. You're in me. I'm in you. Yeah. He says we're in the world and not of it. I just read a book. The one chapter was in the world and of it. I'm like, ugh. I'm in the world, not of it. I'm not vulnerable. See, whatever you protect and defend is subject to be overrun and taken over. But wonder if I submit it all to him. Wonder if he's my rock, my defense, my strong tower. You get it? You got something in your heart? That's good. Todd's, I see him doing a little hand motion up here. He's got that sanctified look on his face. He said, any place, it's so true what he's saying. Listen to what he's saying. He's, any place you're not surrendered in to him, that's that place that you're trusting to yourself. Any place you're not surrendered to him in totally is the place you're vulnerable in. Because once I give it to him, then who's defending it? Well, you say then, we're just rejoicing. Again, I say rejoice and go on to live for the Christ and shine his glory. Here's the other deal. If I'm really on the planet for him, then my motive, it's all about him and the kingdom. And my responses in life is all about him. It's all for him. It's all to reveal him. It's never really just about me, period. Even though God's all about me, created me for His good pleasure, He created me to worship Him with my life and my expression of Him on the earth, and I understand He so loved me, He sent His Son, but it's all about Him. My confidence is in Him. Do you get it? So if something's coming against you, is it ever just about you or is it about the kingdom? Once you're in the kingdom. It's about Him. It's about the kingdom. It's about His name's sake. Don't ever forget that. Whether it's sickness, whether it's adversity, whether it's just craziness. If you forget that, you're going to make a mistake. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about revealing Him. Am I making sense? Now watch. This is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to, what's it say? His will, then what's it say? He hears us. So it sounds like knowing the will of God is a big deal. Because our confidence comes through knowing God's will. So my fingers aren't crossed and I'm not on a tangent. I don't have to search for balance. Once I locate God's will through His word, it's right to stand there. It's right to decree that thing. It's right to ask that thing. Because He hears me. Now watch what else it says. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Know's a peculiar word in the Bible. Did you ever notice like love has a lot of different, there's a lot of different uses of the word love. There's a lot of different words, uses of the word know. You got gnosis, you got epinosis, experiential revelation, understanding. You got regular just to know in your intellect. And this word, I'm not sure, I just know what it means. I'm not sure how you say it, and I'm not sure, like epio or something like that. I don't quote that. It's you'd have to look it up. But it means this. It's neat. It means to see and to perceive. He's talking about revelation. You can say positionally, I'm seated in Christ in heavenly places and never live from the place of heaven toward earth. But you can proclaim it because your Bible says you're seated in heavenly places, and you can say, amen, brother, praise the Lord, and never experience heaven in your heart. You can positionally be there and quote it and proclaim it and never experience the place that you reign with Him and in Him and through Him. Does that make sense? So we can know and then we can know to see and perceive. Now watch this. What you see, you can have it, you become it. What were to be, we don't yet know or see. But we know this, that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Is that limited to the second coming? Is that limited to the revelation of Jesus when He comes? Or is that a principle that I can tap into now? So the more I see Him, the clearer I see Him and perceive Him, the more I can become like Him. You get it? Or we're just living, life comes, life goes, and one day He'll show up. Whoa! It's all about now. Expressing Him and seeing Him now, right? Revealing Him now. Go and preach saying the kingdom of God is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Why? Because it's all about revealing Him now. He wants me to see Him now so I can be like Him now. You get it? Come on, this is clear. So that word know, it means to the effect of to see or to perceive. So if I pray anything according to His will, He hears me. If I see and perceive that God and His will are one and I'm in agreement with His will, He hears me, then I know, I see and I perceive, I've got this thing. Do you see how fear gets swallowed up when there's revelation? Do you see when you're in true Bible faith or belief, fear and worry? A lot of Christians think they're just to proclaim the word, but it's really like, oh my God, almost as if I hope this works. And I just don't want to ever be there. Even though you can get there, you can slip in there. In my personal life, let me just talk personal for a second, because I have a real grace to speak from what I experience and live, because I know that even if I get challenged there, I already know it and live it, so it's just no big deal. Let me just speak from my own life, okay? See how flaky I'm getting right now? I just know He loves me and He's for me, and there's just no fear in my heart. I don't even think about what the devil might do, is trying to do, because Jesus is my focus and I know what He has done and He is Lord. Yahoo! Okay? That's real to me. And it swallows up worry. I honestly can't even relate to you. I can't tell you when I've prayed since I've been saved thinking, oh my God, Elvis, oh my God, Elvis. In my personal life. Why? Because there's a confidence. If I pray anything according to His will. So do you see how important it is to locate the will of God, that He simply loves you and is for you and not against you and will never leave you or forsake you? Do you see how important it is to let the Word of God be the dominating voice and factor in your life so that you can become what you're called to be? You following me? There's a confidence that comes from knowing Him. It's not arrogance. The confidence is in Him. So let's take healing. If we know His will, we ask anything according to His will, we know, we see and perceive, listen, He's got to hear us. You take a situation like Dale's and Peg's and the family here. Our minds could go absolutely crazy. I was telling him when I was coming up a lot and I saw him, I started growling in the truck, didn't I? Just feelings, emotion. Because of what you don't understand and the things you want to break, and you try to get involved to where you're going to move the mountain or something. Serious, but there's a side to us that. Okay? I was telling them, I was expressing that to them. I said, I got to get a grip on that. Because even this thought, look, in a situation like this, are we praying? We say this in the church all the time, so we must think it. Praying for a breakthrough. I'm praying for a breakthrough. Jesus has broken through. He's accomplished everything. We're living into that. We're growing up into that in all things. We're receiving through what we're believing about what He's already accomplished. And it has very little to do with my effort. Of course, we say the right things, we speak life, we proclaim and decree, but if we're doing it from the position of because of what's wrong instead of what's right, it can turn into a method. Exasperate your life, frustrate your life, and get you to even question the book. Am I making sense? Because it's not about any of that. Watch this. I don't have to do anything. He's done it. Do you know He can just come and deliver and do a miracle without a word from the position and attitude of the heart? I think we're way too involved sometimes. We think it's about what we're saying and doing. It's what He said and did, and you're just saying, yay! Wonder if it is that simple. I was in a situation, I won't go into detail, but I needed God to touch me like right now. And I went to my bedroom and I was going to start praying all these scriptures because I already had prayed a bunch. And the Lord told me to get quiet. And I said, oops. I said, I'll try. No, I said, okay. I got quiet. And guess what bubbled up in my heart? Psalms 103. And I just thought, You forgive all my sins and heal all my disease and redeem my soul. I was in my bedroom and I went, yeah. I started to cry. I said, thank You. And instantly, every trace of this flu thing just left. Instantly. I ran down and gobbled a whole plate of spaghetti and ran to work. I was at a new job and they said, you can't miss a day. in your 90 days, and if you miss a day, you won't make your probation. And I laughed in my heart and said, well, that won't be a problem, because don't ever get sick. And the very next night, right before I was leaving, this flu thing hit me. And I felt like I couldn't eat, couldn't walk, and there was no way I could go to work. And I thought, this is not God. So you tend to react and think, oh, this is an attack of the devil. He's trying to confrontation. And you feel like your tendency is to fight back. John's whispering, be still and know I'm God. We fight the good fight of faith. You know where faith was found in me in that situation? God helped me because I started quoting a whole bunch of scripture. I felt the same. I sounded impressive to me, to fellow Christians. Boy, that brother sure knows the word. Knows or knows. Do you know faith's revealed in receiving? What I see is revealed in what I become. It's not something to frustrate you with. That's not condemnation, what I'm telling you. I did that with my wife. She got hurt one time, and I hee-haw, hee-haw, sounded impressive to me and you, and nothing happened spiritually. Nothing. And I knew it in my heart. Something. It wasn't even one of them places where I could reach out and say, well, you know, we're believing, because I knew something was wrong. My wife actually said, okay, you prayed, I believe, and it'll be okay. And it was religious and rhetorical. It was all just me doing what I need to do. Come on, he is so Lord, he did it all. When you sing a song like we just ended on, where they just kept singing it, and I didn't even move, did you notice how we just stayed there for quite a while? Because it was so blessing me, I'm thinking, Jesus is. He just is. What's Jesus? He is. Jesus is. And I thought, you could sing that all night. We don't have to preach. Just, if we could just get that. Jesus is. Yay! Jesus is. Right? Wonder if you see that. You become that. So the simplest things moves to God in my own life were through what I saw, not what I said. What I saw. And I just pray, God, right now, you just illuminate us and give us revelation where we're not frustrated, even striving to know the difference, but just receiving your love and becoming what you created us to be. Thank you, God. Because I remember getting in my bedroom and if there's one place you strive, the Bible tells you to strive one place. And it's actually a good phrase, because striving's not good. Where's the one place that says if you're going to strive, what you're striving for? Who knows where it is? Hebrews chapter 4. If you labor at all or strive, some translations actually use the word strive, to enter into his rest. Some translations say labor. That's why some of you didn't know where it was. But if you strive at all or labor at all, it's to enter into. For God on the seventh day rested from his what? From his works. And you ought to do the same. Whoa. Sounds like we're living by grace now. So watch. When I have the flu and I got to go to work, there's nothing I can do to change that. But put all my confidence in what he has done. And it actually came without a word. I was standing in my bedroom. I began to weep. And he was uttering Psalms 103 through me. And I opened it up and I was looking at it. And I just began to cry because I realized what I was doing. And I was just, it was just a shift in my heart and soul. And it was just beautiful. And I'll never forget it. I'm standing there and I'm just weeping. My God, thank you for your benefits. Thank you for loving me. You did it all. And I'm just thinking thoughts like that. And every trace of that stuff instantly left me. It was on me for about 40 minutes. And I took off to work and worked real good and hard that night. Yeah. If that thing doesn't leave, and say it's there for 8, 9, 10 days. Let's say it's a situation for 8, 10 weeks. Do you see how easy it would be to cross into what I'm saying versus protecting yourself to stay in this place of grace? Because we're taught so much to do this and do that. And make sure you do this and make sure you do that. Who's read the books, all the ways to be this and that? 7 ways to hear from God, 8 ways to receive healing, 3 ways to become a better Christian, whatever. And we think that way. I don't ever really, honestly, not for any wrong reason, I don't really watch Joyce Meyer, but my wife had a video of her one time and she was playing it. And I walked through the room and I just was listening to her talking about some of us don't know how to receive. We actually strive receiving. We get into works receiving, she said. And she's going on. She's right when she's saying that. I mean, we can get trapped into works just receiving. You know? It's like, what do I got to do? Receive. How? What do I need to do? How do I receive? And she said, I'm going to show you. She said, I want every, you know, people in her conferences, there's just thousands of people there. She says, I want every eye on me right now. I'm going to firsthand demonstrate and teach you right now how to receive from God. And she had my attention. I stopped. I thought, I'm learning this. I'm getting this. And I'm looking and she goes, are you ready? And everybody's like, yeah. She went. That's all she did. And I just thought it was funny. I thought, wow, probably too simple for us. What did she do? She just went like this. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. He was responding to how the people, what did she do? She's just receiving. God, it's true. I love you. Thank you. Yay. Look at the tendency to read your Bible and relate to what God's saying about you to what you've learned to think about you. We actually wrestle receiving what God says about us because of life's experience. That's what we talked about earlier. Why can't we just know this is God, this is right, this is God? We read it and say, yay. Wow. Cool. Instead of, well, I don't know how God could love me. Like, well, I don't know. Well, that ain't my experience because I know a lot of Christians. And we get on, and we can't, when do we just say yes to the yes of God? The reason I'm taking time and talking like this is because of this promise. Who sees this promise as a big deal? It takes the guesswork out of it. If I know the will of God, there's a confidence in my life, whether it be for healing, deliverance, my location, employment, marriage. If I know the will of God and I get discernment in my heart, in any area of my life, if I know the will of God, I have a confidence in Him. It erases worry and I'll stand in Him. Especially healing. I'm going to focus on healing for a second. How can you, let me ask you a straight question. How can you ever release true Bible faith if you don't establish the will of God to heal in your own heart? You can't. You can't. It's just a flat, plain, straight answer. You can't ever just rest. Watch this. Can you labor to enter into His rest and be in His rest in a physical infirmity situation if you haven't settled the will of God in your heart? But yet it's from that place of rest we're called to live. That's where I receive from, on Daddy's lap. Any child, I was watching my little granddaughter yesterday. She's so dear. She's bouncing and crawling on the couch. And I'm sitting there playing with her and we had balls everywhere. Books everywhere, everything everywhere. I took her outside and pulled her in the sled and stuff. We come in and she's climbing on the couch. The neighbors have this big Mickey Mouse in the yard. And we came home. It was so cute. She pulls up the blind and she sticks her head through and she's looking and she says, hi, Mickey. We're back. I'm back, Mickey. And I'm watching her laughing and she's rolling on me and I'm tickling her and wrestling. And next thing I know, she's just curled up. Little teeny tiny under my armpit on the couch, just sitting tight against me, just sitting there. was so sweet. And I thought, this is normal. This is how we can be to God. This is like so cool. Totally safe there. She knows Grandpa. She knows Grandpa loves her. She wants to be there. In fact, Mommy comes to take her home. She says, no. Grandpa. And then I have to tell her, you can come back again. I'll see you again. Okay? Okay. But she's like, no. Grandpa. And I'm like, I don't blame her. Jesus likes to hang out with me too. This makes sense to me. You know why Jesus likes to hang out with me? Because he knows who he created me to be. So he's attracted to that. And he changed who I wasn't created to be. You get it? And now she's sitting there. And it spoke to me when she was cuddling and she was sitting there like that. I started thinking spiritual right away. And I thought, God, this is you and me. This is us, the body. Whew, that is a Psalms 91. But see, she's safe. You know, I didn't even tell anybody this. In my family, just my wife when she came home, I didn't even tell anybody. She rolled down the steps. And you know, you can get your mind crazy because you're watching her. She's under your authority, your shadow, and you're figuring she's in my house. I turn on worship music and I just dance with her and we praise the Lord. And I'm thinking it's good to be with Grandpa. And she fell forward and rolled down the steps headlong, playing and just lost her balance and fell straight down the steps the whole way down. Pushy teeny. Our middle steps in the middle room, there's about eight of them. She lands and she's just bawling. And her arm is like rubber. And it's bent like it shouldn't have been bent. And she landed right on it. And I picked her up and I could tell she wasn't using it at all. And it was bent like it shouldn't have been bent. And of course your immediate reaction is like sympathy and empathy. She's so tiny, she's so precious, and you love her so much and you don't want to see her hurt. But I don't stay there too long. I can flash there for a moment. I'm pretty much all business kind of guy when it comes to that kind of stuff, especially in my personal life. It's just, there's something. And I thank God for that, because a lot of people can pray for so-and-so when they're sick and have faith and confidence and have a hard time receiving for themselves. But there's something about our identity that needs to build up here. Because he wants me healed. He wants me loved. He wants me blessed. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. You get it? So I got to praying for her and thanking God for his goodness. And I just by faith started to move her arm and she started screaming. And I'm telling you, it was bent like it shouldn't have been bent. It looked like rubber. And I prayed about four times. And I just held her and said, it's okay. Jesus loves you, sweetie girl. Kissing her on the forehead, holding her. Holy Ghost, thank you. Holy Ghost power, come. Thank you. Restorer of all things. Thank you, Redeemer. And she's nestling in. She's pressing on me. And now her cry is a little whimper. And I reached down and I just started moving and bending her arm. And her wrist, and then I said, let me see this. This was the one that was fine. I said, hold it out and go like this. So she's doing that. And I said, do this one. Now her arm looks good, and she starts doing this. And I'm like, yeah, you're just so powerful, God. And then I moved a little, and then she cried a little. Prayed a few more times. I watched God totally reset, restore her arm like nothing ever happened. In just moments. And I'm telling you, she wouldn't even move it, Pastor. It was just hanging there. I had that with my son once. I told a lot of people the story. I dropped a battery on his finger and smashed it. You tend to feel responsible. You could all of a sudden be praying because you feel guilty. You're saying all the right things, but your motivation is guilt. And God will never move. It's amazing. Isn't that something? And I prayed for my boy. I just held him. He's screaming. And I just held him. I looked at his finger and my mind for 1 second went, oh my gosh. Because his finger was smashed like purplish blue and white. Purplish white, it was smashed. And I tried to touch it and pray and he freaked out. And I'm holding him along the lake, along the bank, just praying. Thanking God for His goodness. Just thanking Him for loving us. Thank You for covenant, God. Thank You that in times like these in natural life, You're the Lord Almighty God. I was just proclaiming goodness. And he stopped crying. Here I didn't realize God's so cool. I'm the one that dropped the battery. So why not stand now and release faith in the kingdom? It's called redemption, as if the battery never fell. But I get to participate in that as well as I drop the battery. Come on, you drop the battery. What do you say? You jump in on redemption. I looked down and I was molding his finger while I was praying and didn't even know it. I was rolling it in my hand and pressing on it, and he wasn't making a sound. He's telling me there's no pain. I looked down and I went, oh, dear Jesus, You're amazing. I'm crying. His finger was 100% normal. I'm talking in 2 minutes. 100% normal, you couldn't tell I ever dropped the battery. He looked down because he had looked down originally. That's why he freaked out. Because I was bad daddy before I was saved, real bad. Like I'd use fear as a tactic. Like the battery would be in the garage. Don't you ever touch that. Do you see me? If you ever touch that, it'll eat your hand right off. It's acid. It'll burn you. It'll eat your hand right off. If you touch that, you'll lose your arm. Don't ever touch it. That's how I fear drive my kids not to do stuff. And then we'd walk by it real little and go, ooh, you know. And that way I could leave it out and charge it and not have to put it away and keep it childproof. I'd just scare the tar out of him, so to speak. And then he'd never get the bright idea to touch it. So now daddy drops that on his finger and he looks at his finger and what's the first thing that hits him? Oh my God, it touched me and look what it's done to my finger. And he's freaking out when he looked at his finger. He's, ah! Because he's thinking, oh no, this thing touched me and now it's going to take my hand. Because I sowed fear into him when I wasn't saved. So he saw his finger and then my boy looks down and he goes, I'll never forget the picture as long as I live. Sun beating on his face, tears covered his whole face, just wet from screaming. And now he has this big smile and his son's glistening and all these tears. And he's got this big smile and he's little, tiny guy. And he says, boy, Dad, sure is a good thing we know Jesus. And I'm just standing there. And I pulled him in and I'm going, thank you, thank you, thank you. What was I thanking him for? Not, whoo, thanks for bailing us out. Serious, that's not what I'm thanking. Thank you for being so good. Thank you I can put my confidence in you even when I make a mistake, even when an accident happens, even when there's a problem, even if I miss it. Thank you for being who you are always. You get it? So I'm standing there holding him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. He's weeping. Yay. Okay. We're close. It's the will of God. Let me just cap it this way. It's the will of God. Nobody saves like you do. When we were singing that song, did you feel the atmosphere lift up? And your hearts, you weren't just singing a song anymore. We were actually dare believing it. There was folks in here going, yeah, nobody. Do you know what the word save means? Heals, delivers, protects, and preserves. Nobody takes care of us like you. Nobody covers us and protects us and redeems us and restores us. Nobody has taken interest in us like you. You're Father of all creation. Father means come forth from. You brought me forth and you raised me out of miry clay even after man fell and place my feet on solid ground. Nobody saves like you do. Nobody could ever love me like you. You get it? Wonder if no matter how you feel or what you're going through, you embrace that as truth, and truth makes you free. Isn't that the biggest challenge in your life? Right here, isn't it? This thing functions in a way to keep you from epinosis, or that epio word, that to see and perceive. I'm encouraging you. I'm not challenging you. I was going to use the word challenge, and the Lord switched in my heart. I was going to use the word challenge. The Lord said encourage. I encourage you, if you're in a situation that feels like it'll never change, can't change, won't change, but yet God's word says something different, just start just very simply entering into his rest and saying, thank you for what you say about this, because what you say is true. You're always right. You're the Lord. That way you're not trying to, you're just coming into agreement. You're saying yes to God's yes. I understand there's authority. I understand there's a, but who knows, there's a time where you can cross the line and you can be trying to produce something for a breakthrough. And what do you say? We enter into his rest and receive the grace that abounds. Does this make sense? So I'm just saying that to a few folks. That's just a good word for some of us. Thank you for what you say about this situation. My confidence is in you. And thank you for the victory. I appreciate your love, God. And start proclaiming what he says that way in a love relationship. Okay? Amen? Is that fair? Good. Good. Okay. Praise God. You got something in your heart. Yeah. Yeah. You can use that. Good. And then just close up. Okay. Just wrap up and pray for the folks.
Yeah.
Jesus. Grab a handle. Because they're taping. Thank you, Jesus.
Got it. Yay. Okay. Are all of his promises yes and amen? Now listen. All of his promises are yes. All of his promises in him are yes. And in him, amen. So if you're reading the promises, but you're not reading them in and through him, that just makes it, just totally turns it around. It's a personal promise. It's a, his promises in him are yes, and in him, amen. So we can say, God, I love your promises, but if you're not receiving them in and through him, they're not coming. It's real. It's really good. And he just revealed that to me this week, because I heard all of, and I always heard it, because everybody will say all of his promises are yes and amen. But that's not what it says. It says his promises in him are yes, and in him, amen. So we receive in him, in and through him. All things were made in and through him, and all things were made for him. That's so important. Eternal life isn't just going to heaven. Eternal life is that they might know him. That's eternal life. And it's not there. The promises without relationship aren't there, because the confidence is in him. The promises are in him, and everything is in him. I want everybody to go to John 17. I'll only take a minute here. This is real important. I want to share a real quick testimony that happened tonight. I came to Rutter's down in Spring Grove, and it was weird because it was really crowded, and I saw this one kid walk by me, tall kid, had the pants on, you know, the thug look thing going on. Serious. And he walked by me, and he was limping. And I'm like, oh, man. And I kept walking. And actually, the thought, I don't have a fear of man. But you know, there's a kid killed down at Kenny's, right? Someone shot. I'm right there beside there. And it just for a second flashed. This is the part I didn't tell you. It just flashed real quick. And so I'm walking to my car and the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, he like kind of like, he'll hit you if he loves you. It's okay. And he's standing there talking to all his friends around their car. They're kind of gathered. Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? Get over there. And all these kids are standing around, you know, these teenagers or whatever, maybe a little older. So I'm like, okay. So I drove my car over there by him and I said, hey man, come here a second. Let me borrow you for a second. He goes, what? I said, dude, I said, what's wrong with your leg, man? I saw you limping. He goes, I tore my ligaments. He goes, and track and stuff, man, messed him up real bad. And his buddies were looking, you know. I said, wow. I said, I'm going to pull my truck over and I'm going to pray for you and Jesus is going to heal you. Then you won't be in pain anymore. It'll be good. He's like, what? I said, yeah, I'm going to pull over right here and I'm going to pray for you. He's like, whatever, man. All right. So he walks over and he's like, his buddies are like, you know, kind of like this guy's whacked. And I walked over and I go, all right, man, what this one, right? He said, yeah. And I reached down there and I got on my knees in the parking lot. And he's got it all bandaged up underneath his pants. You can't see it on the outside. And he's like, what's this guy doing? Prayed. And his knee got on fire. And I said, what's going on, man? Bend your leg. He goes, man, there ain't no pain. And his buddies are like, oh, get out of here, man. You got to be kidding me. Right? So he's like, no, I'm serious, man. I said, look, take that bandage off, man, because you don't need it. So he's like shoving it down, putting it down to the bottom of his leg. He's like doing this and squatting down. He goes, man, I'm serious. There ain't no pain. And his buddy's not looking at me. I said, man, you won't even look at me. I said, you know what's funny? I said, I was a drug addict for 22 years. And I saw a lot of people that confessed to be Christians and heard a lot of people confess that you need to find God or you're going to hell. And I didn't see Jesus in them. So why would I want what they have? Really? If people can't see Christ in you, they don't want what you have. Here's what they think. You don't even believe what you're telling me. Why would I want to be like that? This is what I used to think. If there is a God, he's going to be really upset at you. Really? Because you're claiming to know him and then there's nothing there. Matter of fact, a lot of the Christians that I knew were worse than a lot of people I knew in the world. And I'm not putting down people. I'm telling you, if this in him relationship doesn't come, nothing changes. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and he made it to my head and nothing changed. And for months I flopped around and claimed to know Jesus, but still was out smoking crack and messing people up. I became the very thing that I despised because there was no relationship there. None. Because it wasn't in him. It was about him, and it's never about him. It's in and through him. That's where stuff changes. So I said to him, I said, man, people used to tell me all the time, man. Matter of fact, Christians would come up and tell me once in a while, you know, especially family. And they'd say, you know, you better change your ways, this and that and the other thing. And the kid's like shaking his head. I said, but look, this is real. Look at your buddy's face, man. Everything's changed. I said, his knee's completely healed. How about that? What are you going to say to that? He's now squatting down. He couldn't, and his buddy knew him. I said, look, you need to seriously consider and weigh your heart. He loves you guys. That he would move, and I usually say this, where you're not even thinking about him. He would move through a yielded vessel in a parking lot. Tell him to come pray for you. He would heal you on the spot because he's merciful. And he's not looking at you waiting to beat you with a stick. He's actually loving you and wanting you to know him. Jesus loves you. I love you guys. Have a good night. So go and heal the sick and then preach the kingdom. We're in John 17, right? Okay. Does this make sense? It's in him. This is like so good. And he really made this alive. John 17, 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. If you believe in Jesus through your word, That's you. Jesus is praying. This is the Lord's Prayer, John 17. He's praying for you right now. That they, meaning you, all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also, or also may be one in us. Why? Why are they supposed to, why is he in him? And why is Jesus in the Father and the Father is in Jesus? And Jesus is saying that they may be one in us. What's the reason why? It tells you right after that. That the world may believe that you sent me. You have one right when you're born again. It's to manifest Jesus. Period. Every other right is done. That's your only right. And it's a good right. Because when you walk in this, you walk in something that God created you for in the beginning. Man fell. Jesus regained what was lost. And now you have that. And when you walk in that, you walk into the reason why you're created in the first place. So that's where freedom is. So Jesus says that you may be in me and I in you and us in them so that the world may know. Why? Because when you walk up to somebody in a parking lot that's hurting, in the midst of a situation that doesn't feel so good on the flesh part, but you know Jesus loves them because you see the compassion, you see their created value in God. You see that they're precious to God. And Jesus died for them. And if you know that Jesus would have came and died just for that one person, he would have came just for you. If you were the only one, he would have came and just died for you so that he could bring you back to Daddy. If you look at that person and you see that, and you go up and you give them the kingdom, why? So the world may know that Jesus was sent for them. So as we manifest Jesus, the world knows. I'm telling you, it's so important. You're his hands and his feet. What are you doing with it? It's in him and through him in all things. This is really, really important. So it's all in him. That's why we got his presence. So we can reveal him and touch the world around us. Changed my whole life. It'll change anyone's if you let him. Amen? That makes sense? Man. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Who here came for prayer tonight? I know Dale did. Who else? Could I get everybody that wanted prayer, that needs prayer for anything, any kind of anything, come up here, please. We want to pray for the sick.